W32DR Oshkosh and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. New Mexico prosecutors announcing they plan to charge actor Alec Baldwin and armorer Hannah Gutierrez Reed with involuntary manslaughter, that deadly shooting on the movie set Rust. Authorities say the prop gun used by Baldwin fired a live round, killing cinematographer Helena Hutchins in 2021. In a statement, Baldwin's attorney says Alec Baldwin trusted the crew that there was no live ammunition. Santa Fe First Judicial District Attorney Mary Carmack Altwise spoke to ABC's Lindsay Davis.
This scene, as it was taking place, was a rehearsal. He shouldn't have even had a real gun. He should have been using a rubber or a plastic gun, and he certainly was not called upon to pull the trigger.
President Biden is in Northern California surveying damage caused by the series of storms. He has announced additional disaster aid for the hardest hit parts of the state. Jobless claims dropped again last week, down 15,000 from the previous week. This is ABC News. Lawyers for an Illinois bank who died in the care of two paramedics seek justice.
Justice for all.
Justice for all.
Civil rights
justice
and personal injury attorneys Ben Crump and Bob Hillard leading the chant as they announce the filing of a wrongful death lawsuit against Peter Cadigan and Peggy Finley, the paramedics charged in the death of Earl Moore and their employer LifeStar. Moore's mother, Rosina Washington.
My son was clearly struggling, and he needed help. He needed emergency medical attention. Instead, these workers treated him like he wasn't even human.
Moore was suffering from alcohol withdrawal, and police say Cadigan and Finley put him on a gurney face down, which contributed to his death. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Hong Kong will scrap its mandatory isolation rule for people infected with COVID. Till now, Hong Kong had followed China's zero COVID strategy. Many residents had to be sent to hospitals or government-run facilities, even if they had mild symptoms. New rules go into effect at the end of this month. Andy Field, ABC News.
Fox Valley regional and state news and commentary for us to find common ground. Civic Media.
Your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected on the Civic Media Network. CivicMedia.us.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. Getting around is tricky today thanks to a winter storm dropping wet, heavy snow on Wisconsin. There could be anywhere from 4 to up to 9 inches on the ground once it's all over. Many schools in central and northern Wisconsin in particular are closed or switching to virtual learning. Road crews are asking people not to drive today if they don't have to. Hy-Vee is recalling pot roast dinners. The labels don't have all the ingredients on them, so they're worried there may be something in them that could hurt people with allergies. The meals were all made between December 26th and Tuesday. There's more detailed information on Hy-Vee's website. If you have one of the recalled meals, you can take it back. In sports, Marquette beat Providence last night 83-75. You're listening to Civic Media, Fox Valley.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
Hump Day equals Hump Day. Greg Bach Day.
It is. Put that on your tombstone.
Oh, yeah.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Yes, you've just convinced me towards a burial service now. That's it.
Wait, was it cremation before? Was that your go-to?
Viking funeral?
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Always on the Civic Media app.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP. We're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
You've kept up with the times. For example, you're fluent in texting.
Honey, what does IGTTSWA mean?
It means I'm going to the store, want anything.
If you can do that, you can definitely save for retirement. Go to aceyourretirement.org for a quick 3-minute chat with Avo, the friendly digital retirement coach. Get personalized tips to help boost your retirement savings. And it's sponsored by AARP, so you know they got your back. Check out aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Keeping the Fox Valley connected, informed, and entertained. This is Civic Media.
From Green Bay to Oshkosh and Point South, wherever you are in the Fox Valley, count on us to keep you connected, informed, and entertained.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dom, I'd like to call this, I guess we'll never know, the Thursday edition. First and foremost, thank you, Angela Lang from Block in Wisconsin. Wonderful organization. Great guest. Thank you, Angela. If you missed her, where were you? And also, you can always find it at the civicmedia.us. Look under the show page and find the greatest radio show ever, Devil's Advocates. But Dom, the Supreme Court investigation, the murder mystery, and Hercule Poirot came up empty, man. Yeah. Agatha Christie said they never found the murderer. He got away with it. How is this a sufficient answer? I am skeptical. A little bit of the reporting and then the reaction of the former president. You should see Trump's reaction. The Supreme Court issued an investigative report on Thursday announcing that it had yet to determine who leaked its raft opinion overturning Roe v. Wade to the media last year. But at least 90 people had access to the document at one point. In a statement, the court said that the investigative team, and this is weird language, just listen close. The investigative team, quote, has to date been unable to identify a person responsible by a preponderance of the evidence. Does that mean they got a couple of suspects? Like, it's 50-50 between Dom or Crute.
It could be one of those, but we don't know.
It is also unlikely the leak resulted from a computer hack, the statement said. Investigators said they conducted 126 formal interviews of 97 employees, all of whom apparently strongly denied disclosing the opinion. They also conducted a fingerprint analysis. And again, here's a quote, Dom, look closely into any connections between employees and reporters, especially scrutinized any contacts with anyone associated with Politico. That's the website that dropped this story originally, Dom. Dozens of people had access to the draft, the report states, adding that a few employees admitted telling their spouses about the draft opinion or the vote count of the justices. While the report notes that violated the court's confidentiality rules, it does not say whether that led to further investigation or disciplinary action.
The report doesn't say if the justices or their spouses were interviewed. That's interesting, Don. Why wouldn't they ask the justices if they actually were?
Rudy, I want to know what Ginny Thomas knew and when did she know it? I mean, if there's anybody around here who has, you know, the resume to do something like this, I mean, it's Ginny Thomas, right? She was out there emailing all these state legislators. She was to stop the steal, right? Right? She's down. She's let her activism be known. Wait, was she interviewed?
Dominic, the report doesn't say if justices or their spouses were interviewed, but implies they were not. Implies. Here's a little language. The investigation focused on court personnel, temporary law clerks, and permanent employees who had or may have had access to the draft opinion during the period from the initial circulation until the publication by Politico, the report reads. Asked whether the justices themselves were investigated as part of the probe, the court's public information officer, Stephanie Grisham? Stephanie Marquise. Who was the public information
officer? Yeah, Marquise. That was Marquise. Yeah, yeah.
She was a steel drum, man. She didn't release any information, Dom. But anyways, the court's public information officer said she could only refer CNN to the final report. Why don't they get their information officers any information to actually give to the press?
Because if you did that, then they'd be asking more questions. So you let them go out there. You know, if they know, then they got to tell you. Otherwise, they're lying, Crudy.
Well, Don, before I start rampant speculation going, I'm going to read a little bit more. The leak, the worst breach of confidentiality in the court's history, became public on May 2nd when Politico published a draft opinion reversing the landmark 1973 decision that established a constitutional right to abortion. The disclosure rocked the court and left some justices with a sense of paranoia inside the confines of the marbled line hallways. Shortly thereafter, on May 3rd, Chief Justice John Roberts issued a statement directing the Marshal of the Court, Gail Curley, to investigate the leak. And today, we get the nothing burger of a report. We couldn't find the leaker, Dom. Here's what I would say. Right-wing talk radio today. Well, you know it's got to be a liberal. And I would say, no, I feel quite confident it was probably Alito, or perhaps your earlier speculation, Ginny Thomas, but I think it was definitely
come on, this thing, let's, I mean, this was not an FBI investigation, right? I mean, let's talk about this right off the bat.
We have these
three branches of government, right? Right, the judiciary, legislative, executive, right? One makes the laws, one enforces the laws, one administers the law, right? All these kinds of things. Right? Well, why would you have the Marshal of the United States Supreme Court, who, to my understanding, is what, in charge of security, building, paying some bills? This is the person that you tapped, and I don't know Gail Curley's background, but it's probably not investigative work of this sort. Now, perhaps they brought in some outside prosecutorial type help, some investigators, maybe. But if you're not asking, I don't know, the justices and their spouses as your initial interviews, I mean, of course they had access to it. Of course there are lots of politics going on right now. And of course there's reason to leak this early. If it didn't come out till later, you know, perhaps the angst and the anger would have been, you know, peaked. It had time to, you know, die off a little bit before the election came around. So, I mean, this is already a curtailed investigation. Was there subpoenas? I don't know these things. A little bit from the Washington Post, if I may. The report release suggests that the court's technology was an obstacle to the effort to identify the leaker because not all the printers, for instance, kept running up-to-date logs of activity. Okay, here's one. Investigators collected court-issued laptops and cell phones from all employees who had access to the draft opinion but did not find relevant information on those devices. Well, why are you limiting yourself to the court-issued laptops right off the bat? I mean, there's other things, right? Maybe they have a personal laptop or a personal phone that they could have used to go around this.
Yeah, but you're talking about the investigation of an administrative leak. Do you have probable cause? And I got to think, if I got a clerkship at a U.S. Supreme Court justice's office, I was a hell of a law student, and I would be a hell of a lawyer, right? So I would wonder if a few of these people, just on the grounds that, you know, A, wasn't me, and B, hell no, you're not going to investigate my personal electronic devices. So I don't know if they would have had the power of law to actually do those investigations, but you have excluded one key party that could have been waterboarded or worse to extract the truth, Dom. The former president, Donald Trump, calls for jailing the journalist who broke the Supreme Court's draft abortion decision. First Amendment be damned, says Trump, Dom. Can I throw this in for the record?
Yeah, get there, man.
I got to be serious. Former President Donald Trump is calling for the jailing of journalists who published a leaked draft opinion showing the Supreme Court was posed to overturn Roe v. Wade. I would wonder aloud, what was the crime? But let me read on. Last spring, political reporters Josh Gerstein and Alexander Ward published a blockbuster report on a draft opinion penned by Justice Samuel Alito. Crudy speculates he might be the leaker, but that would overturn the landmark abortion ruling. The court on Thursday made public a report detailing an investigation into the leak of the opinion, indicating it was unable to identify the source of the leak. They'll never find out, and it's important that they do, Trump wrote in a post on his Truthy social website. So go to the reporter and ask him or her. You didn't even bother figuring out who the reporter was, Trump. You're just throwing stuff out there, but let me continue. So go to the reporter and ask him or her who it was. If not given the answer, put whoever in jail until the answer is given. You might add the editor and the publisher to the list. I'm not sure that that's how it works. I mean,
oh, in Trump's fascist world, that's certainly how it works. He went on, Crudy. Stop playing games. This leaking cannot be allowed to happen. It won't take long before the name of this slime is revealed. To further emphasize his point, the former president wrote a follow-up post where he said, arrest the reporter, publisher, editor. You'll get your answers fast. Stop playing games and wasting time. Well, I certainly wish Jack Smith and a lot of those other prosecutors and investigators that are, you know, have grand juries out on Trump's many travails would do the same. Just arrest him, throw him in jail until you get the answer. Is that how we're doing things now? Let's start with Trump.
Now we're going to get to the phone lines very, very soon. 844-967-2789. I'm going to tell you why right-wing talk radio is wrong. I'm going to tell you why anyone that doubts that the leaker is anyone other than perhaps Alito or someone authorized by Alito is wrong. And I don't know if specifically it was Alito, but it was one of the conservatives, probably Alito, because the motivation to leak this document was to lock in the decision, to make sure you preserve this majority, that you preserve this decision, that no one fell out of bed on this one. This wasn't an effort to overturn or get some Supreme Court justice assassinated or whatever else the right is spinning right now. This was an effort to lock in colleagues on the court to the ultimate ruling. The Dobbs ruling, the one that overturned precedent of 50 years. You know, that's a hard pill to swallow for the American people. And it was leaked early to make sure it happened. Come back with us. More devil's advocates. David Crosby has passed away, and Trump wants whoever killed him to be investigated and thrown in prison right now. More devils.
Right to jail, right away.
Come on, do it now!
The devil's advocates, because freedom.
But Dom, we've been following a couple of big stories this week. Truck convoy leader has no idea where he is and is driving in circles around I-495. He didn't know precisely where he was going anyways or where he was at the time. Apparently, he put the convoy back on the road, headed back up north, and he's back in Scranton. So
I totally would have protested this tyranny, but damn, the traffic was so bad.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Melissa from Michigan.
I work an extra part-time job serving lunch at my child's school, but I still can't afford to put food on our table.
Daniel from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Chance of scattered snow showers tonight. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. Lows dip down to about 26. Winds out of the northwest, 10 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy tomorrow. Chance of flurries, 29. Lows dip down to around 17. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy. A dusting of snow tonight with another dusting Saturday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 32.
High of 31. Tomorrow, cloudy skies expected. Cloudy skies tomorrow night. Lows level off around 21. About an inch of snow Saturday night through Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 34 degrees.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
It's getting to the point.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open. 844-967-2789. David Crosby has died. Crosby, Stills, and Nash, sometimes young, at the age of 81. Thanks for the music, man.
You know, it's way too early for the jokes I'm thinking. I just better move on to the phone callers at 844-967-2789. Joanne from Madison. Welcome, Joanne.
Hi, Joanne.
Hi, just a quick note. Hi, just a quick note about Donald Trump, that he did a lot of his own leaking. He took on the persona of John Barron and would call various news services. But I had some great news from UW-Whitewater, and we need good news, okay, with all this sad, all the sadness we feel about the dying musicians that are stacking up way too quickly.
Right, all our dead rock stars, Joanne.
We've lost a lot of them. Corey King has been offered and accepted our chancellorship, and he's a tremendous person. We interviewed him at UW-Whitewater for the job, and I threw the toughest questions at him. I mean, really tough questions about how he'd handle various situations. He's open-minded. He's fun. We're stealing him from UW Green Bay. So I don't want the people up in Green Bay. I know we got the Green Bay audience. We've got him, and it's sad for you, but we got him. He was the chancellor for university inclusivity and student affairs up there. So he knows a lot about affirmative action. He's going to keep us diverse and proud and strong and progressive, and I'm so happy I can't even see straight. It was just announced an hour and 15 minutes ago. So you got the news here first.
Joanne, you did break that one for us.
Yeah.
And you shouted out WGBW. Tell your friends we're in Green Bay now, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM, all the way up Door County, all the way to Marquette, Michigan. Find us up there, WGBW. Joanne, any other thoughts?
Just that it's safe to come back to UW-Whitewater again. We've had some trouble with administrations. We've had various controversies, and our teams have slipped a little bit, but we're going to be back strong. Go Warhawks. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Joanne. My youngest is considering a UW-Whitewater education. And I said, no, lacrosse. He said, Dad, that's a party school.
Right.
Aren't those the best kind? Apparently, he's trying to get some sort of business education.
Yeah, your legacy at lacrosse, man. That means something, right? Crudy almost graduated from there.
Come on, man. I got the diploma. That's all that matters.
Hey, Crudy, breaking news and perhaps good news for those concerned about the Inspector Clouseau investigation of why Ginny Thomas released the Dobbs decision and
Anyway, I digress. Fox News reporting, House Judiciary Committee is expected to investigate the leak of the draft Supreme Court decision that signaled the overturning of Roe v. Wade after the High Court's formal investigation failed to identify the culprit, Fox News has learned. Committee Chairman G.Y.M. Jordan said last year when he served on the committee minority leader, Republicans would investigate the leak of the draft option opinion. Now that the Supreme Court has come up empty, a source close to the committee said the GOP-led panel intends to probe the matter.
Oh,
Jim Jordan's going to get to the bottom of it.
Some jokes just write themselves, don't they, Doug?
Yes, they do.
Think of yours amongst yourselves, just in your own head. We won't spit them aloud here. What a terrible guy to lead this investigation. Because you know, of course, he's got a motivated outcome. And I would suspect, Dom, and I think as you see investigatory people and legal experts, they didn't want to get to the truth of this matter. And that fact, and I'm not blaming the marshal, but the fact that they didn't resource this properly, that they didn't go to the FBI or some outside investigatory agency or body, tells me they didn't really want to get to the truth. And I don't think it's to protect a staffer over at Elena Kagan's office. I just don't think that's the case. And if you didn't even question, you know, the principals, the ones that wrote the opinion.
Right. The justices on the court.
And Alito's already been accused, stands accused of leaking a different decision, right?
Yes.
At a dinner party over some drinks with Lovey and Thurston. So anyways, if I was going to blame someone, I'd be looking at Alito. And you know why I feel so damn confident about this matter, Dom?
Why, Curdy?
Because Maggie Dunn told us that's probably the case on this show. And I trust her.
Really?
I trust her assessment. She told us the motivation to leak the document would be entirely on the Republican, on the conservative bloc side. They wanted to pressure this to be the ultimate outcome. They didn't want to lose Roberts or something of the sort. They didn't want to bleed this one off. They wanted to overturn Roe v. Wade. And Maggie laid out the case, and if you missed it, go look up the podcast. But Maggie laid out the case why it would be to the motivation of the conservative bloc to leak this. And to the greatest motivation of the guy that authored it. The guy with the history of being a leaker, who apparently was not the subject of this investigation.
Right, so what are you talking about? Here's what Alito, according to the Washington Post, Alito said this fall that the leak was a grave betrayal of trust by somebody, and it was a shock that led to a changed atmosphere at the court and made his colleagues for the majority targets for assassination. The threat to the justices, he added, was not theoretical because it gave people the rational reason to think they could prevent that from happening by killing one of us. This is what Samuel Alito, accused former leaker, author of it, had access to it, had motivation, had prior history. But he's not questioned. His staffers aren't questioned. Jenny Thomas, who's a known activist, she's not questioned. Come on, man. This is a joke. They don't want to find out. They know who it is. They just, you know, just going to shove this one under the rug, perhaps.
Alito staffers kept their mouths shut. They probably were questioned, but the old man, probably not. Come back. More Devil's Advocates.
Never hang around gymnasium, Jim.
You are the worst human being I have ever met.
Yes.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. New Mexico prosecutors announcing they plan to charge actor Alec Baldwin and armorer Hannah Gutierrez-Reed with involuntary manslaughter, that deadly shooting on the movie set Rust. Authorities say the prop gun used by Baldwin fired a live round, killing cinematographer Helena Hutchins in 2021. In a statement, Baldwin's attorney says Alec Baldwin trusted the crew that there was no live ammunition. Santa Fe First Judicial District Attorney Mary Carmack Altwise spoke to ABC's Lindsay Davis.
This scene, as it was taking place, was a rehearsal. He shouldn't have even had a real gun. He should have been using a rubber or a plastic gun. And he certainly was not called upon to pull the trigger.
President Biden is in Northern California surveying damage caused by the series of storms. He has announced additional disaster aid for the hardest hit parts of the state. Jobless claims dropped again last week, down 15,000 from the previous week. This is ABC News.
Continue the conversation online. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook and on Twitter.
This is Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio. Dane County Judge Chris Taylor is running unopposed to serve on the State Court of Appeals, but that's not stopping her from getting out on the campaign trail in a different role, explaining the importance of the appeals court, yes, but also the race for state Supreme Court. It doesn't get the attention of races for governor or U.S. Senate, but it arguably has more of an impact on the lives of Wisconsinites when you see how the current conservative majority has reduced voting rights and made it tougher to fight a pandemic.
My opinion, of course, is that our role is to protect and expand people's rights, not take them away.
Taylor says beyond voting rights, the Supreme Court race can also determine whether women can get back the right to make their own personal, private health care decisions. Join us for Up North News Radio weekdays 6 to 8 a.m. and at upnorthnewswi.com.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does a $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. On an earlier edition, we talked to three women, med students, about whether they're going to stay in Wisconsin to practice medicine.
All this Roe v. Wade stuff, and now OBGYN's hands are so tied. I don't want to go through 12 years of training to have some person that didn't do training tell me how to do my job.
It is not a binary choice. You're for or against abortion. It is a healthcare decision. We all have those stories, and people want to hear them.
Don't miss the real stories here on Up North News.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. on WISS 1100 AM 98.3 FM Oshkosh Air Support.
My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates. Because freedom.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I'm going a long ways to have a conversation with you, my little buddy, that you're not even going to want to have.
Great.
That was the theme song of the TV show called Cover Up. Do you remember that show?
No.
Ended in 1984 with the death of the lead actor on the show. His name was John Eric Hexum. Handsome guy, son of a Norwegian immigrant son. And on set, he had used a prop gun, and he shot himself in the head with a blank cartridge, and he died. He died from the shot. And who is the other one that died?
Brandon Lee?
Yeah, that's the other guy I was trying to dig out of my memory. And, of course, why I reference this is because I was a little surprised today when my phone started blowing up. Alec Baldwin going to be charged along with the armorer on that movie set going to be charged with, what, some negligent homicide adjacent charge? It's going to be criminally charged. Could go to jail. Prison, dude. Is there a chance that he's going to kill again on a movie set with a prop gun? And I realize you want to seek justice for the family, but I got to tell you, in these circumstances, you're not bringing the dead cinematographer back. So usually that justice comes in the form of a lot of money, right?
Alec Baldwin will be charged with involuntary manslaughter. That's the charge, according to the New York Times.
And what is the possible ramification of that charge, Tom? Do they say? Usually they say that could lead to a prison term of up to...
I'm not seeing the consequence of a conviction in the New York Times article at the moment.
Let me try a little different source, CNN. Actor Alec Baldwin, who fatally shot a cinematographer on the set of the Western movie Rust in 2021, and the film's armorer, Hannah Gutierrez-Reed, will each be charged with two counts of involuntary manslaughter, a prosecutor said today. The family of Helena Hutchins, who is the film's director of photographer, thanked prosecutors for their decision. It's a comfort for the family that in New Mexico, no one is above the law. Fair enough. Baldwin has maintained he was not aware the gun he fired during a rehearsal contained a live round. His attorney called the prosecutor's decision a terrible miscarriage of justice. Now, this decision distorts Helena Hutchins' tragic death and represents a terrible miscarriage of justice. Mr. Baldwin had no reason to believe there was a live bullet in the gun or anywhere on the movie set, attorney Luke Nickus said. He relied on the professionals with whom he worked, who assured him the gun did not have live rounds. We will fight these charges and we will win. An attorney for Gutierrez-Reed said he believes the jurors will find his client not guilty. We were expecting the charges, but they were absolutely wrong as to Hannah. We expect that she will be found not guilty by a jury, and she did not commit manslaughter. She has been emotional about the tragedy, but has committed no crime. So, and I still didn't get the, you know, here it is. In either case, the conviction is punishable by up to 18 months in jail and a $5,000 fine. 18 months in jail, $5,000 fine. That would be the maximum consequence, according to the CNN article I just skimmed. So here's the question, Dom. I think there's zero chance that he ever would repeat this. So if it's meant as a deterrent, I don't think it's necessary whatsoever. But if we go by the standard that no man or woman is above the law, not the former president, not the current president, not a rich guy actor like Alec Baldwin, coffee is for closers, fella. But what I would say, if that is the standard, then I suspect he will be convicted of these charges and, you know, perhaps, what, a suspended sentence? Or does he do a little time in jail, a little Huber, a little home arrest? Or does he go to an actual facility? But I would say if you pointed the gun and you pulled the trigger, you acted negligently. Anyone that's ever handled a firearm in their life knows better. I didn't know a bullet was in there. That's not an excuse after the fact. Know what I mean? If you pull the trigger and the gun goes off and he kills someone, you're culpable, at least on this involuntary manslaughter sort of basis. I would expect a conviction if that's the standard. But he's going to have
charges of
lawyers.
Up to 18 months. You know, and obviously it's a difficult situation, right? I think of if that were, you know, my family member or somebody I cared about that was shot dead on a movie set, I would certainly want justice. Involuntary manslaughter versus other charges. You know, I'm not up to speed on the particulars of the case, what the local laws are, but certainly there are professionals that you rely on in these kinds of situations, and those professionals all have liability insurance. So they're, you know, the criminal side of it, you know, what's the intent? I'm not clear on. Well, certainly when something like this happens, everybody gets sued, but not everybody gets charged.
Baldwin and his legal team feel blindsided by the announcement, Nickus said. They were not given any indication Baldwin would face criminal charges and learned of the charges in the media. So anyways, Dom, any opinion? Guilty, not guilty. I mean, really, I know you're a guy, and I'm not really a big fan of handguns. I feel more comfortable with the long rifle, shotgun. For whatever reason, handguns feel more dangerous to me. And one of the few times I've handled handguns really has been your handgun. And I recall being in your living room, aiming the handgun at the television set. You know, that was my target. I was aiming at Bugs Bunny or something. And the hammer fell. Now, fortunately, I had checked the chamber, and you'd also presumably checked the chamber. I didn't find a bullet in the chamber, and the gun didn't go off, and it didn't discharge. But I always thought, you know, you're handling a dangerous thing, man. And anyone that's been around a weapon, I was in the military, and I guess I was more often around rifles and shotguns. But I can tell you, you would never point it at someone. Never.
But this is a movie set. This is a prop, man. This could have been Broadway. I mean, that's the point of it. Guns get pointed at people all the time. Have you ever watched any TV or movies, man? I mean, that's what they do. Shoot them up, pew, pew, pew. Really? That's what they do. There's lots of shooting.
I'm less convinced that the guns are actually pointed at the target. You know what I mean? You're pointed at the camera. In fact, this was a camera woman, a cinematographer that was shot. Unless he shot her through the lens of the camera, if she was just standing there without filming, this was a quote-unquote rehearsal. But if he pointed the gun at her, and I guess this would have been my determinant in making a charging decision, but if he pointed at her and she wasn't, you know, behind a camera, if the bullet didn't come through the lens of a camera, then I think he's guilty of something.
If the person that was shot was the one doing the filming, right? You don't have to point directly into the camera lens to get the effect of a gun being pointed at the camera. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I hear what you're saying, but
shot they had set up, and he specifically was pointing at the camera, and that was the shot they were rehearsing and set up, and she happened to be behind the camera, and they were unaware of the bullet. And he shot the camera, bullet goes through the camera, I would find that much more forgivable. But if he is on set and he's pointing a gun at a person walking around, if that was not the specific intent of the shot to shoot a bullet at the camera and oh my God, there's real bullets. Well, of course, the oh my God part, we get that part. But the intent, where he was aiming the gun, if he was being sloppy, if he was pointing a gun at another human being on set and that gun went off, he pulled the trigger.
I mean, come on. Why would there be any live rounds, any live ammunition on a set of a movie ever, ever, ever? I mean, that's my question.
You always assume the gun is loaded, dude. You know that.
If you always assume the gun is loaded, then you would never have people shooting at each other in television and movies, Crudy.
Well, here's what I would say. I've known since 1984, I've known since I was a teenager, that this guy, this actor, shot himself in the head and killed himself with a blank gun. Just pointing the blank cartridge at his head was sufficient to kill him. I wouldn't point a blank gun at you, Dom. Not on a movie set, not in the backyard, not at the range. So why would you possibly shoot a gun that could contain live ammunition? Whether or not you thought it did, you always assume it does.
I'm sorry, dude. Are you telling me that this should be, what, some sort of law or is it some against ethical practice to, when filming a movie or on Broadway or doing a play or whatever the case may be, that they shouldn't point guns at each other?
I'm suggesting...
I mean, literally, dude, how's that going to work?
I'm suggesting if this is the shot, if this is the movie shot, not the bullet shot, but if this is the setup for the shot and he shot
exactly as intended, then that's probably more on the armorer. I could see putting responsibility on the person that supplied the gun if that is specifically what was supposed to happen. But if he discharged a gun at random on set, if he pointed at someone and the gun goes off, Evan, you don't think that's what happened?
He was aiming at the camera. They were setting up a close, you know, on barrel, down barrel shot, and the gun, you know, the weapon discharged and hit the director of photography sort of through the camera. The director was injured too. Don't know how, but yeah, I mean, this is just a hard one. A woman is dead and he was holding the weapon, you know, in unintentional manslaughter. It's sort of, it's all in the name. He didn't mean to do it, but she's dead, and accountability is a thing. So it is tough. It is.
The district. Thank you, Evan. Sorry to interrupt snack time, man.
Well, let me just throw in here. We're talking about a different one, the Brandon Lee. This is from the New York Times back from 1993. The district attorney investigating the shooting death March 31st of Brandon Lee says he has decided against charging a movie production company with negligent homicide. So a similar circumstance and a declination of negligent homicide charges.
Well, I'm going back to the CNN reporting. The district attorney, this, of course, the Alec Baldwin charges, the district attorney said she believed Russ, the movie set, had a really fast and loose set, saying there was a lack of safety standards and live rounds on set that were mixed in with regular dummy rounds. Nobody was checking those, or at least they weren't checking them consistently, Carback Altwies said. And then they somehow got loaded into a gun, handed off to Alec Baldwin. He didn't check it. He didn't do any of the things that he was supposed to do to make sure that he was safe and that anyone around him was safe. And then he pointed the gun at Helena Hutchins and he pulled the trigger. That, in the words of the district attorney.
And again, going back to our first conversation on this, you know, there's standard practices and processes for these kinds of things. And if that is the case, that they were not abiding by those practices or the local laws or whatever the case may be, then, you know, then you got to charge them. If that's the case, that they believe they have the evidence for that, then there should be some consequence to that action.
Baldwin was also a producer for Rust and therefore had additional responsibilities, the district attorney said. As a producer, he also had a duty to make sure that the set was safe. And then, as an actor that day, he should have checked that gun, checked those projectiles. He did not. Woman's dead. It was a tragic thing. And he's now been charged with crime. And if you have any strong opinions, now would be the time to dial your phone at 844-967-2789. Just don't point it at anyone.
People running it that didn't know what the hell they were doing.
I know now why you cry.
What is dedication?
I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
The Republican Party on a national level, how many years did they investigate Hillary and Bill? They're still going to that.
They're still looking for her emails, right? But they don't look in the Trump septic tank for half the top secret classified documents that he was flushing during his term. When one party doesn't care about governing, just don't allow anything to happen when the Democrats are in charge, and then they think the American people are going to get boonswoggled and vote Republican again.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
What is dedication?
I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov.
Here's your updated forecast. Chance of scattered snow showers tonight. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. Lows dip down to about 26. Winds out of the northwest, 10 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy tomorrow. Chance of flurries, 29. Lows dip down to around 17. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy. A dusting of snow tonight with another dusting Saturday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 32.
The Devil's Advocates, tackling the issues you're not allowed to talk about at the dinner table.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the last segment of the day. So if you got something to say, you want to pipe in, call us right now at 844-967-2789.
Time to go into the lines. All about the lines. Walt from Minneapolis, listening on AM 950 KTNF, Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Walt, how you doing?
Hey, Walt.
I'm happy, and I hope you guys are too. Thank you for many years of good stuff. With respect to your most recent discussion, the indictment I want to see handed down is against our violent culture. And to help us understand that, I refer everyone to Anais Nin's novel of the future book written in the 60s, in which he describes how violence in our culture substitutes for character development and dramatic action, maybe even character development for ourselves. It's so much easier to draw people into wars, football games, anything with violence, rather than trying to make us better people. But you guys are great, so thank you, thank you, thank you.
Well, Walt, don't forget, betting on the football games. That's what really entertains the masses.
You guys keep me laughing. That's good.
Thank you, Walt.
Thanks, Walt. Appreciate it.
At least we got that going for us. People laugh at us, Dom.
967-2789. Real quick here, the union representing the Phil, the SAG, AFTRA. They said that the death of Ms. Hutchins was a preventable tragedy, but that it was not a failure of duty or a criminal act on the part of any performer. And I think that's, you know, that unless there's wanton and forceful effort by Baldwin, I just don't. It might be a little rough getting that. Maybe they're hoping for a plea. I don't know. Apparently, also, though, one of the others charged did plead. There were three people that were charged, and one pled to working with a dangerous weapon.
844-967-2789. Jerry calling from Arizona. Welcome, Jerry.
Hey, Jerry.
Hi there. I missed you guys all weekend. I don't know if it was your cold weather, but it scares the heck out of me when I lose your 950 AM Minnesota radio. I started out with liberal talk show, thank heavens it exists, in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, with Air America. Then it turned into Clear Channel. Then I was in New Mexico when Alec Baldwin, I mean, come on, an actor should not be guilty of anything when he fires a gun. The set should have been checking the gun. But anyway,
what if he was also in charge of making sure the set was safe, though, Jerry?
Well, okay, but it's over, and at least voluntary manslaughter is better than murder charges. Anyway, I was living in New Mexico when that happened, and I have to tell you this, unbelievable, a blue state with a Democratic governor, and of course all the sheriffs were against in the little tiny small shops that were forced to close during COVID, were griping and anti-mandate, mask mandates. Anyway, they in Albuquerque, of all things, in a blue state, they have this horrible conservative radio talk show that even carries this horrible Dan Bongino, who blasts Democrats. He's replacing Rush Limbaugh, lives in Florida, and is kissing Trump's fanny, who is probably listening to it on Mar-a-Lago. But anyway, why doesn't Albuquerque, New Mexico have a liberal talk radio show like yours.
They literally had our liberal talk radio show, Jerry. We played out in Albuquerque. We really, and sorry, Dom, I've dragged you up and down this venture with me, but we had to pull our syndication plug because I bought a radio station. I had responsibilities trying to keep it viable here in the great state of Wisconsin. Jerry, I'm not clear why the Albuquerque, and there was a Santa Fe liberal station as well. We actually kind of simulcast in that market. I'm not sure why it's not still broadcasting, but somebody should Google Progressive Radio Albuquerque. I shouldn't have taken that left turn at Albuquerque, Dom. thanks for listening, Jerry. I'll try to Google it. I'll share if I can. 844-967-2789 Pizza Box. How you doing, fella?
Hey, Mike.
Well, you know firsthand, it takes money to get on the radio, and a lot of people don't put money into Progressive Talk. But look, Alec Baldwin, it was an accident. I'm totally remorseful. Nobody felt worse. I think it's like a civil case, obviously. But what about all the intentional? Like, let me give you an example. We're all drinking plastic. These places intentionally polluted our water, man. This doesn't have any you can't make it equal to nobody's above the law, whether he's found guilty or not. Come on, man. This is America. There are plenty of people above and beyond the law. And that's just an example right there. We're corporations. The Republicans say we should clean the water, but they want us to clean it up and not hold the people. They don't even hold people responsible, man. At least Alec Baldwin is being held responsible, right? They didn't try to cover this up or anything.
That's true. That's correct. And it's going to cost a lot of money, and nothing's going to, you know, bring the victim back, and they should do everything they can to deter these kinds of things going forward. And if he had extra responsibilities above and beyond being just an actor on the set, then with those responsibilities comes responsibility. It's amazing how that works. Thanks for the call, Pizza Box, 844-967-2789.
I just want to give a shout out to our friend listening in the desert Southwest. KTRC is a commercial radio station broadcasting a progressive talk radio format licensed to Santa Fe, New Mexico. Now, the one I looked for that was in Albuquerque, they're doing sports talk on it now. I would just say.
Wow. I mean, how many sports talk stations do we need, man?
At least three in every market pulling a combined one share. I would just say the Civic Media app, tell your friends. You can take us anywhere on the Civic Media app. Or, here's the back channel, just for our friends. You got to be a friend of the devil, though. Tell Alexa, enable Devil Radio, play Devil Radio, and at, 4 o'clock Central Time, about 2 o'clock Pacific, the Devil's Advocates will come on. We'll play out of the little smart speaker. But don't tell anyone, because there is no Devil Radio app anymore. That's just our back channel. That's our Alexa skill. Rico, you got like 30 seconds, buddy. Sorry, shorted you.
Oh, that's all right. Hey, I drifted on over to the wrong side of the dial and got caught in a blizzard. I got in the white zone. And who do I hear? Nobody but Vicky herself talking about horrible radio shows. And old Rojo was on there. Rojo says we shouldn't be concerned about the crimes. Let's just, be more concerned about the truth. And, that's coming, consider the source.
Well, depends on whose truth you're talking about, Rico. We give you the unvarnished truth, the unfiltered truth. But, you perhaps cannot handle the truth. Thank you all for listening. You're the greatest audience ever, and that is the truth.
You are listening to your local...
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis.
every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. We talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Greenberg.